Today we're going to continue our series having to do with returning from exile. And in this series, one of the things we're doing is we're looking at some of the people in the Bible, because we know that in the Old Testament, the Israelites disobeyed God. When they disobeyed God, God sent the Babylonians to come in and pull them out of Israel, conquered their land, and many of them were exiled into Babylon. And some of us during this quarantine have felt exiled, right? We felt like, man, they've taken me away from my friends, my family, my church, my job, whatever the case is. And so what I wanted to do is I started looking at some of these people that were coming back out of exile. And how did they function? How did they rebuild? How did they restructure their lives? And so we look at guys like Ezra and Nehemiah. Today, we're going to be talking about Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet in the Old Testament, and Ezekiel had some really wild visions. God liked to speak to Ezekiel with visions. And so today, we're going to read one of his visions in Ezekiel chapter 47. And so let's just start with that, because actually what we're going to do is this vision is so packed full of information, of good stuff, that I'm actually going to preach about this week and next week. We'll do a different side of it next week. But here's what Ezekiel says in verse 1 of chapter 47. He says, the man, talking about an angel that had appeared to him, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was trickling from the south side. Now, right off the bat, I want you to notice that the water was trickling. It wasn't rushing. It wasn't flowing. It was trickling. Have you ever had water trickle at your house? Anybody had? Yes, it's never good when water trickles. Number three, as the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through the water that was ankle deep. Everybody say ankle deep. It's important. We got to remember this stuff. Verse 4, he measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through the water that was knee deep. Everybody say knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through the water that was up to the waist. Everybody say waist. Verse 5. Thank you. Man, you guys are good. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross, because the river had risen and was deep enough to swim in. Everybody say swim. And a river that no one could cross. He asked me, son of man, do you see this? I always love it when I read the Bible and I come across angels or God or Jesus, and they say things like this. Son of man, do you see this? Yeah, I'm soaking wet. I can see it. You know, like, what kind of person do they think Ezekiel is? He led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down to the Arabah, where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the Dead Sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Everybody say live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from Engedi to Engelim, and there will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. Today, we just want to really focus on the first part of that, where it's talking about the river and it's talking about the depth of the river. So if I wanted to title my message today, I would title it Deeper. So if you're taking notes this morning, you can write Deeper down on your notes, because that's really what we're going to talk about this morning. And I just want to point out a couple of things about Ezekiel and about the river that I found interesting. I think you'll find it interesting too. I hope you do. If not, just smile and nod and pretend that you're taking notes while you're really on Facebook. Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 3, this is something I want you to notice, is that Ezekiel had to experience the water. He had to experience the water. As the man went eastward with the measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was ankle deep. I want you to notice something. Ezekiel couldn't just observe the water. It wasn't a distant vision. It wasn't on a television screen. It wasn't on the computer. Ezekiel had to experience the water himself. It makes me start to question the idea of a vision. When I think of vision, I think of dreams. And if you've ever had a dream before and you step into a river in your dream, you don't wake up with your feet wet. Ezekiel stepped into the water. He experienced all God had for him at every level he went to. Let me tell you something. We don't do church. We don't do Christianity so that we can observe. We do it so we can experience. If the only reason we come to church is to watch a band play and listen to music, if the only reason we come is to watch a man with a microphone, then we're coming for the wrong reason. The reason we come to church is so we can experience God in a real way. We need to experience Him. And I believe that's going to be the next step in our church growth, not numerically, but spiritually in maturity. We've got to learn to experience God. We've got to learn that our experience with God at home has to be experienced. It can't just be something we listen to the Bible and we jot down a few notes. It's got to be an experience that we have, that we feel God. I know we want to make God so spiritual that you never feel Him, but I'm telling you, God is so big. He can affect your emotions. He can affect your body. He can change everything about you. You can feel God. You can know God, and you can experience God. The other thing I want to look at just quickly, two observations about the water, is that the water was moving. Did you notice it said the water was moving eastward? The water was going to something. The water was constantly in motion. And let me tell you something. We have to be in motion in our relationship with God. The Bible talks about us growing from glory to glory, right? In other words, our relationship with God should not be stagnant and sitting still. You think about a relationship with your spouse or with your significant other one. If your relationship with people is stagnant and sitting still, you're not having a lot of growth in your relationship. I was just talking to somebody just right before church, and we were talking about a mutual friend of ours that had gotten a divorce, and they said, I always wondered why they didn't make it. And I said, well, I feel like one partner was always moving forward with their destiny and their purpose, and the other partner just decided to stagnate. And it was very difficult on them. Listen, we've got to be moving in our relationship with God. The Bible says in Ezekiel 47:11, but the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Now, what's something about swamps and marshes? Something about them is they're not moving. The water wasn't moving in the swamps and the marshes. It was sitting. And when it just sat, it became stagnant. And not only that, but the water, the swamps and marshes were only good for salt. In other words, people could only come take something out. They weren't putting anything in. I don't know about you, but when I read about this river, the river is bringing life everywhere it goes. I want life coming into me. I want my relationship with God to bring life to me. I don't want just something going out. I don't want to just lose everything. I want to be gaining as well as giving. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, there's a story of a rich man, and the rich man had three servants. A lot of you know this story already. You know where I'm going. But the rich man had three servants, and to each servant he gave a certain amount of money. He expected each one of those servants to go and invest that money wisely, right? Some of you remember the story. The first servant invests the money, he gains back, you know, double. The other servant invests the money, he gains back double what he had. But the third servant had a problem. The third servant was scared, and the third servant was stagnant, and the third servant buried his money and just sat on it. So the Bible says in verse 24, then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have with abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's pretty harsh. But here's what the Bible's saying. The one man that was willing to become stagnant was considered lazy. And not only was he lazy, but he had what little he had was taken away and given to the guy that was constantly moving. So what does that tell me about my relationship with God? That tells me that my relationship with God needs to be moving. I need to be moving in a direction, moving towards life. Here's another little quick observation, is that the water only got deeper the further away from the temple it was. Now, you know what that says to me? We've got a family in our church, Bobby and Michelle Childs, and they've taken over our small group ministry. And we had big plans for this spring, some stuff we were going to kind of get started, and then Corona happened, right? And so then we couldn't do it. And so we're looking for the fall. And so they're making plans already of what the fall is going to look like as far as small groups are concerned. And here's something I want to remind everybody, is that the water got deeper the further away from the church it got. And what that tells me is we can go deep without having to be here. This isn't the only place you can get deep. Sometimes deep happens when you're at home with a group of people around you. When you're in a small group, that's where you can get deep. If you ever notice a lot of Jesus, whenever he's preaching, he preaches to the crowds, and he's very general with the crowds. And then what will he do? He will get in a boat, and he'll go out to the deeper places, right? So somewhere isolated with his disciples, and that's where he gives them the deeper parts of the teaching. This is just not even a real part of the message, except to just say there's value in small groups. There's value in relationships. And if you want to get deeper in your relationship with God, you need to be in a smaller group of people to help you grow deeper. So here's what I want to do. And this is where we're not going to end, but we're going to get close. Is I just want to talk today, the meat of the message is the four depths of the water. The four depths of the water. So we've talked about, you know, we got to be moving. Our relationship with God's got to be moving. But let's talk about the four depths of the water, because these really define where we are in our relationship with God. Have you ever been dating somebody and you had that define the relationship moment, right? I always remember for Perry and I, it was on the front porch of my parents' log cabin when I think it was about this time of year. It was April, May time of year. And we sat down on the front porch of the log cabin and we had that conversation of, hey, we need to define what it is that we're doing here. We're doing a lot of talking. We're doing a lot of emailing. Yes, that's how we communicated, because neither one of us had cell phones, right? So the only way to communicate was email and this thing called a landline. My kids don't even know what that is. And that's how we talk to each other. It's so funny to think back. Like it doesn't feel like it was that long ago, but we've been married for 17 years. So that's a long time. So we have this define the relationship, and in our relationship with God, we've got these defining moments that we've got to have that we need to be moving towards. And listen, there's nothing wrong with whatever depth you're in. You need to understand that today. Because today I'm going to talk about four different depths, and what people are going to instantly think is they're going to think, oh, well, something's wrong with me if I'm only ankle deep. No, nothing's wrong with you if you're ankle deep. But here's the thing. You need to experience everything that ankle deep water has for you. And that way, whenever you move to knee deep, you can experience everything that knee deep water has for you. See, there's value in all types of water. I don't know about you, but there's been plenty of times my parents have some property, and there's this creek on the property, and the water right now is very cold, right? And so my kids, for whatever reason, Colt just has no sense of cold and hot, I don't think. And so Colt will get in the water. He'll get under the waterfall, and he's just in the water. He's shivering, and he's smiling, having fun. Me, I can just put my feet in because I'm old, and so cold water hurts my bones, right? Anybody with me? No, I'm the only one. Just me and Perry. We're cold people. So I put my feet in the water, and that's enjoyable. I can put my feet in the water. But the other day, the kids were like, Dad, get under the waterfall. And I was like, okay, I'm doing it, right? And so I go out, and I look like, if you've ever watched Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit, I looked like Gollum crawling over rocks because I did not want to get into the deep water and walk out to the waterfall. So I'm crawling over all of these rocks to get out to the waterfall. And I get to the waterfall and I'm like, I'm going to do it. And my kids are like, you're the biggest wuss. And so I finally just stuck my bald head under the waterfall and I came out and I was like, I did it. And my kids are all looking at me like, no, you didn't. You know, Colt did it better, Dad. Colt is under the waterfall swimming, and you barely put your bald head in the water, and you think you accomplished something. So don't be afraid to be at a different level. That's okay. But you need to learn to experience everything you can at that level. So the first level is this, ankle deep. And look, everybody's got to start somewhere. Like, you got to start somewhere. Whenever you first go to the beach, you know, some people, when they get to the beach, they just have to rip the Band-Aid off and they just run and dive in. Some people have to ease their way in, right? And so it just kind of depends on my mood and how cold the water is determines whether I'm going to ease my way in or not. Well, the ankle deep is that first thing. That's that first part. As a matter of fact, Jesus in the Bible, when he met with his disciples, he washed their feet. And when he washed their feet, Peter said, don't just wash my feet, wash my whole body. And Jesus said, you don't need your whole body washed. Just your feet. Like, let's start with the feet. Why the feet? Because the feet have to do with my everyday walk with God. You know, one of the biggest hurdles that we need to jump over or get past in our relationship with God is just the everyday discipline of walking with God. It's those everyday decisions. It's the learning to deal with the daily that sometimes is the most difficult. And the Bible says this, Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Here's the thing. One of the first steps in our relationship with God and going deep with God is learning to deal with the daily. Learning to deal with those everyday decisions. When I wake up, what am I going to do next? And that's where we got to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. Listen, it's very rare that I wake up. I say rare. It's not every day that I wake up in the morning and my first initial thought is, I've got to go read my Bible. Like, I've got to do this. Sometimes when I first wake up in the morning, I'm just trying to get my eyes to work, right? When I first wake up in the morning, the first I can think is, I need some caffeine so I can wake up. Like, I got to let the dog out. And so, like, my brain is thinking through all this stuff. And by the time I get out of the bed and get into the living room, when it's time to read my Bible and pray, by the time I get there, I've already thought of 50 things I need to do that day. And so it's a daily discipline to listen to the Holy Spirit and say, you know what? I can put some other stuff on hold. I need to take care of what I need to take care of right now. It's a daily discipline of when I do something wrong, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide me and lead me and learning how to get forgiveness for just the daily things. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, what is he washing? He's not washing their whole body. They're not full of sin. Their feet are dirty from walking. Every day as you walk, there's going to be decisions you make. There's going to be things you say. There's going to be sins you commit, small things. That every day you're like, man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. I wish I wouldn't have had that attitude. And those are the things that every day we've got to work through. Because if you leave the little things undone, eventually little things become big things. So we got to work on the ankle deep. The next level is knee deep. And knee deep has to do with our prayer life, our devotional life. It has to do with seeking God. And you know what? Right off the bat, some people struggle with that. And so they're just learning to do the daily. But the next step is to really learn to go deeper in our relationship when it has to do with our devotion, when it has to do with our worship, when it has to do with prayer. Prayer is probably one of the most difficult things that people struggle with because Bible reading is really kind of easy. It's reading a book. You've been doing it since kindergarten. But prayer is difficult because you're talking to somebody that you can't see. And so how do I do that? Worship for some people is difficult because worship is expressive and some people don't feel like they're very expressive. I was talking to the worship team this morning and I said, guys, I said, we've got to learn to go deeper in our worship. Even if it makes us a little uncomfortable, we've got to learn to go deeper in our worship. So I want to just throw quick some four verses at you. Luke 22:41 says, and he walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. Jesus got on his knees to pray. What was he doing? He was in the middle of a crisis And he decides it's time for me to devote myself to God. In the middle of a crisis. Now, a lot of times that's the easiest time for us to pray, right? Jesus, take the wheel. I'm about to wreck. In the middle of a crisis, that's when it's easy. But then we read a couple other guys. Daniel chapter 6. Look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. The Bible says this, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. Daniel's in the middle of a government issue. Sometimes we find ourselves in the middle of a government issue with regulations and rules that we don't necessarily agree with. So what did Daniel do? Did Daniel immediately get on Facebook? Did Daniel immediately start blasting people? No, Daniel got on his knees as he always did. And he prayed. I think sometimes this is where going deeper with God is important. You deal with the daily, that's the ankle deep. But then you have to deal with prayer and worship, because sometimes our initial reaction is to reach for the medicine. Our initial reaction is to blow up at somebody. Our initial reaction is to get on social media and start posting stuff without ever knowing the facts. That's our initial reaction. Listen, this is my initial reaction. Sometimes I find myself in knee-deep water falling down. I find myself in knee-deep water losing it a little bit. And it's because I've got to learn that in a crisis or in something that I'm uncomfortable with, that those are moments I need to pray. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 54, Solomon finished making these prayers and petitions to the Lord, stood up in front of the altar of the Lord where he had been kneeling with his hands raised towards heaven. So Solomon's at church, and what is he doing? He's diving in, fully devoted in worship and prayer. That's why I tell you guys, church needs to be a place where we experience God. I know everybody comes from different backgrounds, and some of you don't come from any church background, and that's okay. But when we're at church, the one place we should be able to express ourselves to God should be here at church in our worship. It's not a time to just sit and watch and observe. It's a time to get involved in worship. Psalm chapter 95, verse 6. I like this one because it's just about love. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Sometimes we just need to get on our knees just to show God how much we love Him. Sometimes we need to get down and pray when there's nothing wrong. You know, that's probably the hardest time. I said it was easy to pray when things are going bad. It's hard to pray when things are going good because we just forget about it. We forget about it. It's easy to pray when things are going bad, but we've got to make sure it's a discipline of us for us. The third depth is the waist deep. And waist deep is important because waist deep builds on some of the other things we've already talked about. The Bible says in Psalm 51, 6, behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. In the Bible times, in the Old Testament, they didn't consider the heart like this as the core of who you were. They considered the kidneys as the core of who you are. So a lot of times whenever you read that you're dealing with my heart, if you translate it out literally, it's you're dealing with my kidneys, you know, which I think is pretty interesting. Consider what kidneys do. They filter things. They filter out the bad, right? And so whenever he says my inner parts, he's not talking about this. He's talking about this. And God says, I want to have truth in your inner parts. I want there to be honesty and truth in the deepest part of who you are. You know, one of the things that becomes easy for us sometimes is to get forgiveness for the little stuff. I popped off. I yelled at my wife. I said something bad at work. I got mad at my kids. I flipped this guy the bird on the interstate. Whatever the case is that you did that you didn't think was right. And we deal with that. God, forgive me. I shouldn't have done that. I go to Perry. Perry, forgive me for saying that. I shouldn't have said that. Right? Like, we do those kind of things. But here's the thing. If you find yourself continually doing the same thing over and over, there might be a root deep inside that we need to deal with. There might be something in the secret inmost place that needs to be dealt with. So for a lot of my life as a Christian, I dealt with all the surface. I dealt with all the surface. Oh, this is a sin, forgive me. This is a sin, forgive me. And I never dealt with the deep inmost part. And then my wife and I got invited at a very tough time in our life. We got invited to go to a small group. It was a guy from another church, and he had decided to do a small group for pastors of other churches. And so there were four or five couples there, all of us from different churches, and we went to this small group. And because there was no church people in the small group from any of our churches, we all felt very open and had the ability to be very honest. And it was in that small group that I really felt like for the first time that I allowed God to dig down deep into the roots of what was causing some of my anxiety, what was causing some of my fear, what was causing some of my anger, what was causing some of my whatever. Whatever you name that's a surface problem, there's typically a root on the inside. Now, this isn't always something that people, you know, they give their heart to the Lord, they make a decision to follow Christ, they make a decision of a relationship with God, and immediately they get down in the root. Sometimes that doesn't happen. I feel like a lot of times our lives are like onions. There's layers to our life. And the more you peel back, there's another layer that you need to dig down into. But for some of us, we're going to find some issues in our life, and there's a root to that issue. And what God's saying is, he's saying, listen, I want to get you ankle deep. We're going to get the daily stuff going. I want to get you knee deep. I want you to be worshiping me and praying to me and bowing down. That's a form of submission. I'm just giving you everything I've got. He said, but then once I get you to that place where you're learning to submit and you're learning to trust and you're learning to give me your life, it's at that moment that I want to dig down deep and find some of the root issues in your heart. What are the things that happened to you when you were younger? What are the things that you did when years ago that have stuck with you that you've never confessed, you've never gotten off of your heart? A couple of things to help you with that. A, again, going back to small groups, I feel like this is a small group sermon. It's not, but small groups help because it gives you people you can talk to and be open and honest with. Confession is huge. We talk about confession a lot at our church. For those of you maybe watching online today that don't go to our church, we talk about it a lot. We talk about it a lot because we feel like it's vital. Just like an owner of a gym would talk about nutrition, we talk about confession because it's vital to your Christian experience, because you've got to have somebody that you can say, hey, look, this is what happened to me. This is what I did. And this is what's coming out of me now. This is the seed that I planted or was planted in me at a young age. And now look at what's coming out. And so we want to deal with the deep stuff. The third thing, or the last level, is this. The swimming level. The swimming level. This is one of my favorite levels. The swimming level is the deepest part of the river. It's the deepest part of the river. Now, I know at this point you're gonna want me to tell you about, we've got to get deep into God's word. Like, we got to get into the really meaty, deep stuff. And the Bible does say, Paul does say, hey, look, I'm tired of feeding you guys milk. Like, at some point, y'all got to eat some meat. Like, we got to get in, we got to get past just salvation, and we got to get into some other parts of God's word and what God wants to do in your life. And that's true. But let me tell you what the deepest thing you can ever learn in the Bible. The deepest thing is to understand God's love. Now, we think the deepest thing is understanding what the 10th horn on the 5th head of the dragon in the book of Revelation is. You know what? Chances are we're not going to be here for that, so I don't really care that much. If you want to study it, study it. Tell me about it. But I don't care. You know what I care about? I care about knowing that God loves me more than anything else, because that is one of the most difficult things for me to understand. I can understand God's anger. I can understand God's judgment. I look at myself and I look at people all around the world, and I can see why God would be angry with people. Right? He sent his son to die for us, and then we just reject him left and right. He sets up standards in his word, and we reject him left and right. We tell people it's not about God, it's about ourselves. And so I can see why God would be angry, but I cannot fathom why in the world he loves us the way he does. I don't understand the verse that says, while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. I don't understand that, because I don't understand how God could love me that much, but he does. And if I want to go deep in my relationship with God, I've got to understand his love. I've got to dive in to his love. Paul said it like this. He said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. That's at waist deep already. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp. Why do we need power? Why do we need power, Paul? Paul says this, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul says this. He says, if you want to be mature, when he talks about full to the measure of all fullness, he's talking about maturity. He says, if you want to be mature, you got to know how deep God's love is for you. Let me tell you, the deepest thing you can get into today is the love of Jesus Christ. I don't understand it. I don't know why he does it, but he does it. And I've got to get as deep into it as I possibly can. Here's the thing. When we understand God's love, it changes the way we view the world. It changes the way we view people. It changes the way we view sin. We don't view someone that's sinning as icky and gross, and I don't want to touch you. We view someone as sinning as, man, I hate that for you. I hate what that's doing to your life. And how can I help you? How can I love you? How can I pull you out of that? It changes the way we love each other. Jesus said this. He said the two greatest commandments are love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. The two go together. We've got to understand the love of God. Here's my last thought for you today. And this is my challenge for us. Is stop avoiding the deep water. We used to go to the YMCA, and at the YMCA, they got a swimming pool, Olympic size swimming pool, whatever. It's got a deep end, 10 feet deep, shallow end, 3 feet deep. And then off to the side, they got a kiddie pool that's like 1 foot deep, you know. And it's the one for babies. It's you throw the babies in there and they can't drown. They just play around and stuff. You know, as a 40-year-old man, I would probably get in trouble if I went to the YMCA and went and got in the kiddie pool. And if I'm just splashing around and playing in the kiddie pool, the lifeguard, which is amazing to have a lifeguard for the kiddie pool, but they do. The lifeguard would say, sir, you need to get out of the kiddie pool. But what if I said, I'm not comfortable in the big pool. This is more comfortable. I like the kiddie pool because I can lay all the way down flat and my face is still out of the water, right? Like, I like the kiddie pool. It's more comfortable. It's easy. The kiddie pool is not scary, but the deep end, that's scary. In the big pool, there's more people. You don't know what they're doing in the big pool. Big pool's scary. When I was a little kid, I remember my parents wanting me to get in the deep end of the swimming pool. And you would think if they had wanted me to get in the deep end of the swimming pool, they probably shouldn't have let me watch Jaws. Because every time I looked into the deep end of the swimming pool, I saw that grate at the bottom of the pool. And I knew a shark could come out of that grate. I knew it. But as long as I stayed in the shallow end, everything was going to be okay. But as soon as I got in the deep end, that shark was going to come out and he was going to eat me. There's a lot of fear associated with the deep end. Sometimes we have fear and it keeps us from going deeper with God because we're afraid. We're afraid that we might lose a little bit of our control. See, in the ankle deep, I've got control. I can walk through the ankle deep water. In the knee deep water, I can still walk through it. It may be a little more difficult, but I still have control of where I go. Even at waist deep, although waist deep is a little bit more difficult, I can still control it. I can still walk against the flow. But once the water's over my head and I have to swim, now I have no control anymore except to just swim and move my body. But the water itself has control. And sometimes we get worried about going deeper in our relationship with God because we say, God, what if I can't control it? And I've seen other people and they look weird. And I don't want to look weird. But what if God's not weird? What if people are? And what if you dive into the deep end and you're not weird, but God does something amazing in your life? One of the things I fear in life is missing out on all that God has for me because I'm too afraid to go deeper with Him. I told the worship team, I said, guys, we've got to go deeper in our worship, but the reason we don't go deeper is because we're afraid. What if somebody lifts their hands in worship? What if somebody were to bow down in worship like they did in the Bible? Oh, man, oh, that's weird, Pastor. What are people going to think about us? But what if we're going deeper in our relationship with God? We get afraid of what other people are going to think about us. We get afraid of how our lifestyle is going to change. I remember talking to people sometime, and they were wanting to give their heart to God. They knew there was something drawing them, just like the man drawing Ezekiel into the water. They knew there was something drawing them closer to God, but they were afraid because they were afraid of how their lifestyle might change. I'm going to have to give up something. I'm going to have to change. And then what are my friends going to think? You can't let fear rule your life. Let me tell internet people this. You cannot let fear rule your life. Fear will keep you bound up. Fear will keep you isolated. Fear will keep you away from the water because it's too scary. But God is drawing you into the water today. Comfort keeps us out of the deep end. Comfort keeps us out of the deep end because it's more comfortable in the shallow. It's more comfortable in the shallow. I'm comfortable at the level I'm at right now. I don't need to go deeper. I used to get frustrated with people when I would counsel with them. That's why I'm not a good counselor. If you need counseling today, go somewhere else. I mean, we'll find you somebody. We'll help you. Because I get frustrated when people just say, I'm good right here. I'm like, no. You need to grow. Like, you need to improve. You need to, what can you do? Because I'm always trying to think, how can I do better at what I'm doing? And I want people to grow. I hate it when people just settle and say, this is good enough. I want you to grow. Don't be comfortable. Grow. Move. And don't be lazy. Did you know that the letters OB, if you put them in front of a word as a prefix, OB means to resist or to go against something. So whenever I am lazy, here's what happens. I am comfortable observing, but I'm not comfortable serving. When you observe, you're going against serving. And God wants you doing stuff. God wants you active. God wants you serving people. God wants you serving the church. God wants you serving your family. God wants you out witnessing to people and telling people about Him. He doesn't want you to just observe because that goes against our serving. Here's my last thought today. And I've got a couple of pictures I want to show you. If you could show this, the first picture, Lexi. This is the Ocoee River, and these are people whitewater rafting on the Ocoee River. You can't tell, but that's me. Just kidding, that's not me. I got that off the internet. But I used to, when I was younger, I went to the Ocoee. Every summer, I would go whitewater rafting down the Ocoee River. I absolutely loved it. I hated the cold water, but I loved whitewater rafting down the Ocoee River. If you'll go to the next one for me. This is a place called Hell Hole. Hell Hole. That's that. That's what that is. And I just want to tell you quickly before we dismiss this morning. As a teenager and a young 20-something, when I would go down the Ocoee River, one of the things I absolutely loved about it was I loved whenever I would accidentally fall into the water. Which means I typically would hit a bump and throw myself into the water because there was something exciting about just swimming in that river. And every time the guide would say that this spot over here has killed this many people and three or four people have died in this area, that just made me want to get in the water even more. It was something about fear that just made me excited. And so I would fall into the water and I would swim and I loved it so much. And I loved the feeling that I didn't have a lot of control. I could swim and I could kind of move side to side some, but it was really the water, the river that propelled me forward. When we go deeper in our relationship with God, here's what you're going to find. You're going to have a little bit of movement, but the deeper you go, the more His Spirit, the more His power will propel you where you need to be. I love that feeling. I love the feeling of the speed that I would pick up floating through that river. I love the fact that the guide would tell us how dangerous it was. It just made me so excited. But then here was the problem, is there was a stretch of river that it was safe for you to swim in, but eventually you would come, where'd my hell hole go? Come on, Lexi. Then you would get to hell hole. Now, I don't know about you, but hell hole does not sound like a place you want to be. Honestly, now that I've said it about five times, I don't feel comfortable even saying it in church. And the guide would always tell us, guys, if you swim a little bit, that's fine, but you've got to get back in the boat before we get to this place. And I remember one time swimming in the river, and the guide was getting everybody back in the boat. And I remember thinking, I wonder how close I can get to the dangerous place. And so as the guide would come get me, I would just accidentally slip my hand out and just keep going and keep going and keep going. And you know what? I was comfortable in the fact that I knew there was a guide close by. I knew he had a rope. I knew he could rescue me. But I loved the feeling of the river propelling me through that valley. Eventually, I did get back in the boat, and I didn't die. The boat did run over my head. That was a lot of fun, too. Here's what I want to end with today. In your relationship with God, you may not want to be like me in other areas of life. Obviously, I have a weird sense of safety. But you need to be like me in that river, in the sense of, I'm willing to get into the water. I'm willing to allow myself to not be in control as much as I normally am and allow the river to propel me, because in my relationship with God, His Spirit wants to propel me. His Spirit wants to lead me and guide me and take me somewhere. He's got a goal for you. And I know this, that even when I get a little bit scared about what God might be doing in my life, even though I might get a little bit uncomfortable about what God might be doing in my life, I know that He's right there beside me. And He can always pull me back into the boat. That I'm never truly in any danger as long as I'm with Him. As long as I have the guide. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is our guide. As long as I have a guide in the water, I'm never in truly danger. So for us today, I want us to learn to go deeper in our relationship. Why don't you stand up with me this morning? Holy Spirit, we just ask You right now to fill this place. We ask You to speak to every one of our hearts. For those watching online right now, I just pray that even in their homes, God, that Your Spirit would move. We sang a song earlier today that said we need a move, and God, we do need a move. God, we don't want to be stagnant, lazy Christians. God, we want to be moving closer and closer to our purpose, to our destiny, to our future. God, that You've got a plan for our lives. And God, we don't ever want to sit still. We want to be moving. We want to grow and mature. So God, I just pray right now for each and every person in this room that might be dealing with fear, for everybody at home that might be dealing with fear or laziness or comfort, God, whatever it is that's holding us back from going deeper, whatever it is that's holding us back from experiencing all that You have for us at whatever level we're at, whether we're ankle deep or knee deep or waist deep or swimming deep, God, I pray right now that You would help us to have the courage to get into the water. You are drawing us into the water today. I pray that You give us the courage to get in. There's some folks today that your struggle is just in the ankle deep water. You're struggling just to allow the Spirit of God to lead you and guide you. You want to go your own direction, but you know that God is leading you somewhere else. You know that there's habits, there's daily rituals that you need to break today, because you need to be doing what God wants you to do. For some of us, it's that knee deep. We're not seeking Him. We're not praying the way we should. We're not giving Him that time. Sure, in a crisis, we're willing to call out. But what about in the good times? What about at church? What about at home? What about in those times when we've got something on us that we don't really know what to do with? Those are the moments that we've got to cry out to God. We've got to learn to get all the way knee deep in our worship. For some of us, we're struggling today because we know there's a root of sin in our life. We know there's an issue deep down inside. It's like a cancer inside of us. And we see the results of it on the outside all the time, but we never deal with the root of the issue. And today, that's you. You need that. And I'm praying for you today that you will have courage to deal with it, to find someone to confess to find someone to pray with you. And maybe for some of us, it's understanding that love of God that we've got to just dive in. We struggle so much with understanding that God loves us, but we've got to dive in because we haven't been very loving to everybody else, but we want to love God with everything we've got, and we want to experience all that He has for us. We want to allow Him to propel us to our destiny and our purpose. We want to allow Him to move in us and around us, and we want to know that He is there with us, leading us and guiding us. We want to dive all the way in, but we're scared. So today I'm praying for you that you would have the courage to give God everything you've got today. God, I just pray for every person in this room, everybody watching online, that you would minister to our hearts today. God, fill us with your courage and your power. In Jesus' name, amen.